I don't know that I'm even going to necessarily, no, I'm not even going to have an opening scripture. I'm just going to do a little bit of a recap, and then I'll go into some scripture. So all of us should be seated right now, in Jesus' name. So we're studying the book of Colossians, subtitle, It's All in Him. We talked last week for a little while. I just want to teach again. I feel there's a great need and importance. Sometimes we can, and even myself, gets caught up in a preaching moment. And it's not that I'm not going to preach today, but sometimes preaching and teaching, there's really two different things. And I want to I'm going to do a little bit of both, but I want to teach us something, and I want to give us some things that we can be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Amen. And so, just a quick little recap. We know that the city of Colossae was one of three cities that was about 100 miles inland from Ephesus, and Hierapolis and Laodicea were the neighboring cities. We talked a little bit about the makeup of that area and the religious philosophies that were represented there. We talked some about the heresy. I had somebody ask me, what do you mean by heresy? Well, it was a mixed bag of multiple doctrines. We talked a little bit about that. It was where in Colossae that they took Christianity, Jewish legalism, Eastern philosophy, which is Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism. There are several other isms there that they took. And then they also incorporated agnosticism, which is simply believing in everything, but believing in nothing. That nothing was preeminent. Anybody remember me talking about they wanted Jesus prominent in their message, but not preeminent? And how that really is the message today in a lot of mainstream churches, that Jesus is prominent, but he's not preeminent. And so Paul goes in and he, for lack of a better term, I guess you might say, he debunks all of the Eastern philosophy, and he debunks Gnosticism, and he debunks Jewish legalism, and he just starts throwing stuff all out, all of this false doctrine or heresy, this mixed bag of multiple religions. You see, that's exactly what's happening today, is everybody wants to have a religion that fits them or pleases them, that fits all of their beliefs. And that's what we got over 32 or 3,400 different religions in the world today. I mean, even that crazy lady that the spaghetti lady. Anybody heard about her? Oh, the Church of the Spaghetti Noodle or something like that. I'm serious about this. So you look it up. This leader, she's the Church of the Spaghetti Bowl or something like that. She actually won in a court case to keep a spaghetti strainer on top of her head. She said that was part of her religion. And just like the Muslims wear a whatever you call it, do-rag. No, that's really black folk. They wear a do-rag. Whatever you call that thing, a turban. No, it ain't a turban either. But whatever, you know what I'm talking about. She said, this is part of my religion. And she won a court case to where she can wear that spaghetti strainer on top of her head everywhere she goes because it's part of her religion. It's absolute insanity. Because they want to believe anything and everything. They want to accept everything. And that's what Paul was dealing with from a prison cell in Rome because of Epaphras. Epaphras, we know and understand from last week that he was one of the young men that was very possibly a convert that came from Ephesus. And at that particular time, it was 2 years that all the gospel had spread from Ephesus into all of Asia, out of the church of Ephesus. And Epaphras was one of those young men who lived in Colossae, and it is understood and thought and believed that he was the one that started the church in Colossae, and happened to be in Rome talking to Paul and telling him of some of his frustrations of what was going on in the church. And so I can see it as Epaphras is sitting at Paul's feet, telling him a situation. What do I do? How do I handle it? How do I take care of it? And Paul begins to write the letter to the church at Colossae. And so therefore we have the book of Colossians. Amen. And so that's just somewhat of a recap over all those things. One thing I do want to make very, very, very clear is that Paul puts down, quote unquote, false doctrine by continually lifting up Jesus. Oftentimes we get in a fuss and a fight trying to defend everything that is brought as false doctrine, where we don't really need to defend the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel speaks for itself. We have no reason to be on the defensive when it comes to the gospel. Just lift Jesus up. Just preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't need to do anything else but preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul even said that. He said, I have determined, I've made up my mind that I'm not going to preach anything else but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Why? Because we can get so messed up and so sidetracked in so many different things of trying to convince somebody. I'm going to tell you what, the gospel is what the gospel is. Just preach the gospel, and God, peradventure, will open their understanding, give them wisdom and knowledge, that they would believe on the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Happened, because all Paul did is he began to preach it, and it spread all over Asia. So did Epaphras. He preached it, he believed it, he taught Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And we're always going to have people that are going to come and say, well, what about this, well, what about this, and try to get into all kinds of other areas, and it's all it is to sidetrack you from the main thing.
That's right.
And so let's keep the main thing the main thing, and that is Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Amen.
Amen. And so all these false teachers, just one more quick note, they would not deny the importance of Jesus Christ. Just like the Mormons, just like the Jehovah's Witnesses, so many of them, and this is the exact thing that is going on today, that I want to, through the power of the gospel, defeat. They want to say, well, yeah, Jesus had a prominent place, but so did Joseph Smith. And so did this one, and so did that one. And he's just another prophet. That is the fallacy, and that is the heresy, and what's wrong with our religious society today. They only want to make Jesus part of their life, not all of their life. So they don't outright deny Him, but they do dethrone Him. They take Him off the throne and set Him next to another Dagon. They set Him to a net. They put Him amongst all of the other gods on Mars Hill. That's what they don't leave Him as preeminent. And that is it is something that we need to make sure that Jesus Christ is preeminent in our life. We again begin to go through some of these things that in 34 times in these four short chapters, Paul uses the little word all. More than any place in the scripture was the word all used. Why? Because Paul was trying to drive home the fact that everything is in Christ Jesus.
Right. Amen.
And that's where we get the scripture and the idea or the topic. It is all in Him. That's a revelation to be understood. That's a revelation to be excited about when it's all in Him. And you understand that in everything, I breathe, I move, I have my being, I have my very existence because of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. And so we begin our journey. So that was all recap.
Whatever it took last time to get through it. Man, why can't you just preach like that? You missed a lot of the other stuff, though. Yeah, so this way you've got a little bit of recap, and now you're going to get the full meal deal.
Amen. Praise God. And so when we go to verse number 1 of the book of Colossians, Verse number one, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you, peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, first of all, I want to make it very clear, and give because some of us still don't quite grasp this, that this message, this setting of Scripture is not to sinners, those that don't know the gospel. Much of the time, we preach and we talk about things that come out of these letters that were written to the church, and we refer to them to those on the outside, those that don't know the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's not right. It's not right because the letter was written to the church. You want to preach to sinners? You preach to them out of Acts, because that's the establishment of where conversion was happening. But all of the letters, that's why Paul started out with this, to the saints.
Yeah.
To the saints. So we ain't talking to sinners. We ain't talking to people that ain't been baptized in Jesus' name. Go back and read your Bible. In the first 4, 5, 6 verses of every letter, Paul explicitly says, to the saints, to the saints. And that's why we can't take salvation out of Romans. Believe and be saved. Because they already believe.
Right.
They already have the Holy Ghost. They already been baptized in Jesus' name. But our society, our religious world, does take out of Romans and say, just believe and be saved. And they make a gospel message out of something that they can't make a gospel message out of.
Right.
And I'm giving this to you again so that when you are confronted with this, you can stay in the book and say, wait a second, you got to know who this is writing to. These people are already saved. These people were already established back in the book of Acts. Let me take you to their beginning so you know why they say this in Romans. So you know why they say this in Colossae. So you know why they say this in Philippians. So they know why they say this in Ephesus. But I can take you back to the book of Acts where they began, and they got the gospel. Tools in your hands to be a soul winner that uses wisdom and knowledge and understanding of God's word.
Right.
Now, verse number 3 said, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying for you always. I want you to understand there's two phrases in verse 2 and verse number 3. It said, God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. It said, God. And verse number 3, it said, God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Neither "and" indicates, neither of these scriptures, "and" does not indicate two persons. And, if you go back and you look at it, it means even. So God, even the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. Or God our Father, even the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not separating. Again, understanding and knowing the Word of God will help you, give you knowledge, give you understanding to combat the attacks of this religious society that wants to separate the person of Jesus Christ. That wants to put 3 on the front throne, but talks about, I can't tell you how many times I get so frustrated when people start trying to explain to me the Trinity and they explain to me the one God. And I said, did you just hear what you said?
Right.
Did you just listen to what you said? Well, you can't explain the Trinity. You just have to believe it. Baloney! You don't have to explain the Trinity. You just got to believe in one God. If thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. For the devil even believes and trembles.
Right.
Amen. We've got to know our Bible and how and what it says. So when you see God, our Father, and Lord Jesus Christ, it's not separating the Father and the Son. It's even.
Right.
It's even because there was an understanding of who God was. There was an understanding of who Jesus was.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen. And so let that be established in our hearts. Amen. Jesus, or just as the Old Testament speaks of the God of Abraham to remind his people of the relationship and the blessing. Remember, relationship and the blessing resulting from that Abrahamic covenant. So is the New Testament. Sometimes it speaks of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ to simply remind us of the relationship and the blessing that is available through the atoning or through the anointing of Jesus Christ. Nothing more to get us to understand the relationship and the blessing that comes along with it of that Abraham covenant as well as the New Testament will or covenant. Amen. It's only about relationship. If we skip down and we go and launch up here because it goes on to some more things that are pertinent, but that's not really where I want to go. We are dissecting Colossians in great detail. So I want to skip down to verse number 6. Verse number 6. It said, "Which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit." I want to break these down in just a moment. "And it doeth also in you, since of the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth." This gospel, first of all, is for all the world. Yeah. Do you believe that today?
Yeah.
I believe that Paul did, because he preached it everywhere he went. And again, even this morning, as you look around, you see different nationalities. It's to all the world. Amen? And we don't believe in a segregated church. We don't believe in a white church, a black church, a Filipino church, a Chinese church. Amen? A Micronesian church, or this church, or that church. Really, in religion, is still the only place that segregation really is. And it's horrible to understand that. But really, segregation is still in the realms of religious. That's the religion. That's why we have all of these segregated churches. Well, this is the church that only has black folk coming to it. This is the Hispanic church. And this is the Filipino church down the road. And this is, hey, enough of that. When you come into the kingdom of God, you lose your Filipino. You lose your black. You lose your white. You lose your Italian. You lose all that. You lose all that. And you come into the culture of the kingdom of God. No longer from Guatemala or Salvador or Brazilian or whatever and whatever and whatever. You now are of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're born a new citizen into a new kingdom. You're no longer a citizen of wherever, but you're a citizen of the kingdom of God. So this gospel was unto all the world, and these false teachers were not interested in evangelism. They were not interested in evangelism. They went wherever the gospel had already been. And they tried to convert those that had already gotten the revelation of who Jesus was. And what they were doing was trying to convince them of their religion. But let me remind you, you don't need to convince anybody about the gospel. Just preach it.
Right.
Just preach the gospel the way it is. Because it said a fool and a wayfaring man not need air therein. It doesn't have to be convoluted. It doesn't have to be all complicated and messed up and difficult. No, it's easy. It's easy. You know why? Because Jesus Christ said, "I would that all men be saved." He don't want anybody to perish, but that all should come to repentance. So he ain't going to make this thing difficult. But people make it difficult. Religious leaders have made it difficult. Amen. The Word of God is not for information only. But that's what a lot of people use it for. Oh, that's a good book. It's got a lot of information. No, the Bible is there for your transformation, not your information. Let me say it again. The Bible is there for your transformation, not just information. It'll change you. It'll make you a new creature. It'll change things that you never thought could be changed. It is for our transformation. Then he goes on in the same verse, "It bringeth forth fruit." Belief determines your behavior. That's it. Belief determines your behavior. Had somebody testify to me even yesterday that said, "You don't understand what God has done for me. as they were testifying to their family. It's not because somebody told me I had to do this and do that and live like this and live like that. It's because of the power of the Holy Ghost that changed my life. It changed my direction. It was the Holy Ghost that quit making me cuss. It was the Holy Ghost that allowed me to have power to overcome drugs and alcohol and fornication and every other ungodly thing. It was the power of the Holy Ghost. And somebody needs to get some boldness and some courage. Belief determines our behavior, and that's why he says, bringeth forth fruit. As a believer in Christ Jesus, we have a changed purpose, we have a changed direction, we have a changed attitude, we have a changed behavior. Right. Everything changes, and it's not because, well, my pastor told me so. No, when you get the Holy Ghost, God begins to change things in you that you don't even know how to change yourself. You can't read any self-help books. You can't do anything. You can't go to any counseling sessions that are going to help you like Jesus Christ can help you. That's what's wrong with our society today. They've depended upon every counselor, upon degrees, PhDs, and DUMBs, and STUPIDs, and all the other ones. They've depended on that instead of reaching out to where they really need to reach out to, and that is Jesus Christ, who has all wisdom, who has all understanding, who has all knowledge. Will somebody believe that with you right now? I want you, no matter how many years of school and what type of counselor, if it ain't in the Word and it ain't God's wisdom, it ain't God's wisdom. Hallelujah. So this brings forth fruit in our life. Amen. We no longer seek to serve ourselves, but we are bringing forth the fruit of Christ Jesus. What fruit are you producing today? What fruit are you producing today because of the change that's coming to your life? I want you to ask yourself that question. What now? Ask yourself this question. What fruit do I still lack?
Yes.
What fruit am I producing and what fruit do I still lack? Because when you come into the kingdom culture of Jesus Christ, amen, everything begins to change. And your belief, your belief determines your behavior. So you have fruit that professes who you really are.
Come on, Pastor.
Right. Amen.
There was a missionary by the name of Peyton that was translating the Bible to the outer Hebrews Islands. And I read this, found this interesting, that he had trouble finding the exact word to translate the concept, believe. Finally, he discovered the word in a Galactic language that meant lean your whole weight upon. And he used it in the sense that when you believe on Jesus Christ, you lean your whole weight upon. But there's too many people today that treat Jesus as their little red wagon or their little box up in the corner of the closet and take him down when he's convenient and pull him around when you need him. But my God, have mercy if somebody just started leaning their whole weight on Jesus. Instead of just taking him down when it's convenient. Oh, what God can do, what he would do, what he will do, if you lean your whole weight on Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Verse number 7 again, just quickly I won't take a lot of time here because I've already mentioned it. You learn, the Bible said you learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister. He makes reference to Epaphras, that he has done the will of God. He has preached his guts out. He has loved you. He has cared for you. He has done so much for you as a faithful minister of Jesus Christ. Then in verse number 8, amen. Verse number 8 said, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Very short verse. But what is he saying? Who also declared? Who's declaring it? Epaphras. Epaphras has told me about your love in the Spirit. He's told me that you love God so much and you're so full of the Holy Ghost that it's impacting everything around you. Amen. It's not enough just for us to love one another, but our love from Jesus Christ needs to impact our neighbors, needs to impact our communities, needs to impact our state. Amen. It needs to impact our continent and our world. Our love for God comes from the Holy Ghost. The Bible speaks of it as an action. Love is an action. I said love is an action. It's an attitude. It's not an emotion. You make it up in your mind you're going to love your brother. It's here again, and I'm doing it again. Why? Because it's necessary. We've got to love one another. But it goes beyond that. We can't love one another unless we have the Holy Ghost. And that's what meets us and drives us to real genuine love for everybody else. I'm having trouble loving this one. Guess what? I'm going to give you the remedy in one simple, easy direction. Get full of the Holy Ghost. You know, I don't like, and I'm not being that nasty. Sometimes we use that coin, that phrase too. Well, you just need to pray through. Well, you just need to pray through. And I understand sometimes it makes people angry. Well, that's all the answer you ever had. You just need to pray through. Well, I'm going to tell you, you know why that's the answer? Because that's what the Bible said. If you don't love your brother, you don't love your brother, it's because you're not full of the Holy Ghost. Because when you're full of the Holy Ghost, it flows out everywhere. But God is love. God is love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse number 9, it said, yet he did not cease to pray for you. Paul was in prison, but he spent his time praying for these people that he had never ever met. Wow, how powerful is that? He spent his time praying for people he never met. In the next four verses, Paul gives us what and how he prayed. And we're going to get into that in just a moment. Come here, set up the table right there in front. It said in verse number 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of him who will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And we're going to stop there. He said that he might be filled. The language here in the Bible, to be filled, means to be controlled by. Are you just filled with the Holy Ghost and you're still running around like a rebel doing whatever you want to do? Or are you filled with the Holy Ghost to the place that you are controlled by the Spirit of the Almighty God?
Amen.
And that's a question that only you can answer. That's only a question that you can deal doing in your own life? Am I still running around doing what I want to do, rebelling, still claiming to have the Spirit? Let me tell you something, that's a spirit of heresy and a false doctrine. Because that's what the religious world wants to get you to think, that you can do whatever you want to do and still have the blessed Spirit.
Right.
Is the Spirit of God controlling your life? We must be filled with the Spirit of God. Paul's desire and prayer for the Colossians was two-dimensional. One, that we might understand what God desires or what God wants. Two, that we might have the power to do that will, that desire, what God wants. That's what it's all about. It was two-dimensional. God, we got to know what He wants, what He desires, and then we got to have the power to do that.